The reading this morning is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, verses 18 to 20, and then verse 26. You could find the reading at page 214 of your pew Bibles. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and in favor with the Lord and the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Every year the parents of Jesus went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" They did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and in years, and in divine and human favor. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
O God, help us to listen to your word with understanding, to receive it with faith, and to respond to it with courage, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Please sit down. Let's begin with the forgotten feasts of these days after Christmas, because they're there to teach us a great deal. Trouble is, by the time we get to Boxing Day, we think we've done Christmas and that's it. But it isn't. Because Boxing Day, yesterday, is actually the feast of St. Stephen. You remember how good King Wenceslas went out on the feast of Stephen? Stephen was the first Christian martyr, the very first of Christ's followers to die for his faith. He was a deacon, and he was stoned to death while a young man called Paul stood by, held the coats, and watched. So we go from the joy of Christmas and plunge down into the depths of human cruelty and violence. Then today we celebrate St. John, the writer of the fourth gospel, the evangelist who wanted us to understand more about Christ's glory as the Son of God and about the love God has for his world. So the roller coaster swoops up again. But tomorrow, December the 28th, we keep one of the saddest commemorations of the whole year. We remember the children slaughtered by Herod's soldiers because he wanted to make sure that he'd got rid of Jesus. So, on the Feast of the Holy Innocents, we remember them and all the children who throughout the ages have been and still are innocent victims of war and violence. Then, on the 29th, is a feast from much nearer home, the Feast of Thomas of Canterbury, murdered in his cathedral because of another king's greed and jealousy. And he, of course, is the patron saint of our very own Portsmouth Cathedral. Well, by now, I reckon the turkey and the tinsel and the trimmings could begin to feel a bit faded and a bit irrelevant. But they're not, because today's collect and readings say to us, we don't just celebrate the birth of a baby at Christmas, joyful though that is at any age. We are celebrating incarnation, God becoming a human being, the one thing which makes our Christian faith totally different from any other. In Jesus, God came right into the middle of the mess. He shared our humanity. It was not just for Christmas. It was for life, for the painful, lonely bits, the bits where everything's gone pear-shaped, where nothing seems to have much point, where illness and bereavement and war and misery seem overwhelming, and for the just plain boring bits, which seem as though they'll never end. Today's collect thanks God for making us in his own image. And that is an amazing thought to ponder. And pray that as Jesus came and shared our humanity, so we may share the life of his divinity. Jesus became human so that we could once again become more like God, which was what we were intended to be in the first place. So there is now nothing in our human life which is outside God's conception and experience. He is right in the middle of it all. So back to the two boys in our readings, both growing up with a very special relationship to God, and with loving human parents who tried to do their best, but sometimes found it hard. Samuel's mother, Hannah, had no children, but in response to her prayer, she bore a child and promised him to the Lord. So Samuel grew up in the temple and regarded the priest Eli almost as his father, while Eli's own two sons were thoroughly corrupt, stealing the sacrifices which people brought to the temple. Hannah's gift of her son is total, but she still loves him. And there's a delightful detail in our reading of how each year when she comes to visit her son, she makes him a little robe and brings it with her, a bit bigger each year. Hannah's sacrificial love was rewarded. She bore three more sons and two daughters and saw her son Samuel continue to grow, both in stature and in favour with the Lord and with the people. And of course, he became a great and wise leader of Israel. And today's gospel story is of another boy, Jesus. He and his parents got split up on the way back from Jerusalem after the visit to the temple at Passover time when the crowds were enormous. And it contains the only glimpse we have in any of the Gospels of Jesus growing up. One of the few hints which we have of the very human anxiety from Jesus' human parents. There's the potential there for a real row with a nearly teenage boy who went off to do his own thing in the temple. And he wasn't anywhere in the big group travelling back to Nazareth. A sickening feeling for the parents as they look for him and he's not there. But Jesus knows, even at this early age, that his is a different sort of sonship, which reflects his true parentage. And he's amazed that Mary and Joseph haven't realised this. There were many other hard lessons to follow, but all we know is that Jesus went back and lived the ordinary life of a carpenter's son in Nazareth until the time came for his encounter with John the Baptist at the River Jordan, the beginning of his public ministry. Jesus, like Samuel, increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favour. And if we'd heard the letter to the Colossians, we'd have been told to clothe ourselves with all the virtues so that we too might grow in faith. None of us fits into those clothes yet, but there's room for growth because they are the clothes of the Son. If we put them on, too much voice use. If we put them on with all the help God offers, then one day they will fit and we'll be transformed into his likeness, which is exactly what we prayed for in our collect. Grant that as he came to share in our humanity, so we may share the life of his divinity. Amen.